Hope that you're rejoicing in the Lord this morning, and we can truly be thankful for all of his many blessings that he has showered upon us. Let's go ahead and take a quick look at the bulletin. And it's good to see Eva this morning. It's been a little while since she's been able to get out, and praise the Lord, today she's able to be with us. Just a few announcements. As you look at the back table there's a lot of Valentine's gifts to and from Secret Sisters, and also there's a tray there with a little package for each Secret Sister, so be sure that you look at that and take one of those for yourself. I'll also be praying for Steve Draper. He's struggling with his health, especially with his ears, and so be praying for Steve in particular, and also for Mona Ruby and her husband Steve, as they're struggling with their health as well, so keep those in mind. Especially. This afternoon we have our Park Ridge Manor Nursing Home Ministry. We leave the church at 3 o'clock. Keep that in mind. Or rather, we leave the church at 2:30. We're there at 3 o'clock. We have our evening service tonight at 6, and our Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. On the 27th of February, a couple Sundays from today, we'll be having some missionary guests. Rich and Maggie Todd will be with us for the day, and they're planning on going to Utah to share the gospel with the people there. So keep that in mind. Also, we've extended the time for the baby bottles. We still have baby bottles on the back table there, and we're wanting to get those in right around the 27th of February. And so keep that in mind. It's great that we can help the Alpha Women's Center in whatever way that we can. I think that is all of our announcements. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for who you are. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Because truly, even as we were looking at in Sunday school, we are sinners, and in and of ourselves, all that we want to do is sin and turn our backs on you. And we realize from your scriptures that those who reject you are bound for an eternity in hell. But yet we thank you that you are gracious and you have sent your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for sinners such as us. I thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts in a special way, that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and of judgment. And I thank you for even working in my own life, that the Holy Spirit has convicted me in the past and that he had softened my heart so that I might believe the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We do thank you and praise you that you have worked in our lives in such a way that we believed on Jesus Christ and have eternal life. And so I do pray that you would give us a burden and a heart, even for those who have not yet trusted in Jesus Christ, that we'd have a desire to share with them how Jesus is the answer for all of their needs, for their most important need, so that they might have an eternal fellowship with you. And so I do thank you for your word and for all the things that you reveal to us in your word. I do thank you for the precious thing that prayer is. Thank you that no matter what problems we have, no matter what time of the day it is, that we can bring all of our requests to you. And that's what you want us to do. You don't want us to worry. You want us to pray. And so I even do pray now for some of our members. I do think of Steve Draper as he's struggling with his health, and especially do pray for his ears, that the doctors would be able to help him there. I do pray even for Mona Ruby and her husband Steve and for their special needs. And many others. I do thank you that Eva's here this morning. Praise you for that. And so many other things that we can thank you and praise you for. But I do thank you most of all for Jesus Christ. Help us to just have that desire to serve you and to live for you. And so I do pray, even as we worship you this morning, I do pray that our hearts and our minds would be focused upon you and that you'd receive the glory. So we do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's begin this morning with Before the Throne. You should have a little sheet inside of your hymnal and inside the cover with Before the Throne. If you don't have one, find a friend who has one that you can sing off of. Before the Throne. And let's stand together as we sing Before the Throne as you find those sheets.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands.
Our scripture reading this morning is in the book of Ephesians and chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and beginning with verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's continue this morning with number 56 in our songbooks. 56, day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. 56.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in the Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems better.
46, God leads us along. Take our morning offering. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that despite everything else that is going on in our lives, you are so faithful in everything. Father, that there are so many things outside of our control that we could never fathom is coming into place for our lives to be patterned out the way they are. And yet, Lord, you are faithful to only incur upon us the trials which we can take by your grace, and always faithful to lovingly in those trials teach us to follow you all the more, to become more like your Son, to understand who you are, so that we may rejoice in the great God that we have. And it's because of you, our Father, our great God, that we come here this morning. I thank you for each one that is here, and Lord, I pray that we would, with our entire lives, Father, as your word says, lay ourselves down as a living sacrifice, take up our cross each day and follow you. And Father, whatever that may be, whether, Father, it be the decision to, in obedience, worship you in our giving this morning, or in obedience, being willing to lay down whatever possessions we have during the week if you require it, Father, I pray that that would be our heart's desire, to be conformed more into the image of Jesus Christ, who did not consider it robbery, did not consider it something of significance that he would be equal with God, but instead he still laid down his life for us. He came down and became like us, gave up all the glories of heaven. So, Lord, let us demonstrate in our lives the life of Christ and giving up the things that we consider our own, because, Father, we know that Christ has bought us, every bit of us. And so, Lord, I pray that as our service goes on this morning, that we would continue to worship you in spirit and truth and in joyfulness because of the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ, our hope. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Probably noticed already, but we have sun coming in the windows. And it's a great reminder of God's faithfulness even after a winter. Even every day when the sun comes up is a sign of God's faithfulness, and we'll sing about that in number 43. But the sun doesn't have to come up every morning. The seasons don't have to turn back to summer after winter, and yet God made it so that it would, so that we could bank on it, so that we could have hope. And at the same time, in his word, even before we had any hope of salvation, he promised that he would send his son. And now we live in a time when we can look back to the fact that that has happened. And we have in our own possession Jesus Christ, our Savior, who we can look to and believe in for our salvation, to forgive our sins. And even more so, we can look toward the hope when the sun will shine, not as because it is a celestial body, but because he will be sitting on his throne in our midst. Isn't that incredible? So let's sing, stand together and sing 43. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. 43. like you believe it.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be.
Stand on every promise of your word. might live. So I'll stand on every promise of your word. Guilt to innocence restored, you remember sins no more. So I'll stand on every promise of your word. When I'm faced with anguish, choice, I will listen for your voice, and I'll stand on every promise of your word. You will guide me with your hand through this dark and troubled land, as I stand on every promise of your word. And you promise to complete every work begun in me, so I'll stand on every promise of your word. Hope that lifts me from despair, love that casts out every fear, as I stand on every promise of your word. Not forsaken, not alone, for the Comforter has come, and I stand on every promise of your word. Grace sufficient, grace for me, grace for all who will believe. We will stand on every promise of your word.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your exceeding great and precious promises that you have given to us in your word. I do pray that we would be standing upon them, because truly we do have a sure foundation in you and in your word. And so I do thank you for your word and all that you have revealed to us in it. I do pray that we'd be loving your word and trying to live it out. I pray that we'd be loving you for who you are, and out of that heart of love we'd be living for you. And so I do even pray, as we look into your word, that we'd be encouraged and challenged. I do thank you most of all for Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in him. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The children can go downstairs for children's church. How many of you enjoy a good mystery? Do you like mysteries, either reading them in a book form or watching them on TV? It seems like anymore today, when you turn on the TV, there's all different types of mysteries, isn't there? It seems as if our society is infatuated with the idea of crime and lawlessness, with all the terrible things that can happen, and then having the police or the investigative units do the problem solving that usually brings about the persecution of the guilty party. But this infatuation with crime and crime-solving mysteries, it's not something that has just recently developed. I can remember way back whenever I was a kid, I used to read books, and it was a series called Encyclopedia Brown. Now, have any of you ever read Encyclopedia Brown? Okay, hey, a few of us here. And so, what can you tell me about Encyclopedia Brown? He was a young kid, probably about the age of Kevin there, right? And there was some crime that would happen, although it's kind of tame compared to what we'd see on TV or whatever. But there's this crime that happens, and Encyclopedia Brown, by the sense of his keen observation, by his reasoning, he would be able to figure out who had done the crime. And so I read through Encyclopedia Brown, probably, I don't know how many books there are, but I think I read almost all of those books. And then eventually, as I grew up, I left Encyclopedia Brown behind, and then I was introduced to people like Sherlock Holmes. Any of you read Sherlock Holmes before? Now, those are rather intriguing also, aren't they? Because Sherlock Holmes, he also had a keen sense of observation, and he was able to reason and figure things out. And not only reading books, but also on the TV. I think whenever I was a younger person, I'd watch Matlock on TV. Any of you ever watch Matlock? They still have it on for reruns. That's kind of intriguing. Or I think of Columbo, or there's all types of different mysteries. Today, what do we have for mysteries? There's a whole slew of them. I think of CSI and NCIS, and who knows what all the other ones are. But this fascination with crime and crime solving. So we're familiar with the mystery books, with the shows of this current generation and the past generations as far as all the mysteries on TV. But as we look at the scriptures, do you realize that the scriptures talks about mysteries? Now, not the same type of mystery that I've just been talking about here. Now, in the pages of the scriptures, there is crime that is recorded and there is justice that is brought about as a result. But the type of mystery that I am referring to is different than what I've just been talking about, like I just said. When the Bible talks of a mystery, it is something that God has chosen to keep hidden in ages past, but now, at a certain point in time, he makes it known to humanity. And that's what we talk about whenever we read in the scriptures concerning a mystery. Something that God in ages past has hidden to mankind, but now he has made it known. He has revealed it. And oftentimes when we read of a mystery in the Bible, it is the mystery of the church. Now here lately, at Nordville Baptist Church, we've been considering what the purpose of the church is. Not only of Nordville Baptist Church, but of the church in general. What is the purpose of the church? Why do we exist? And I've been telling you, it is to glorify God and to worship Him in spirit and truth. That is our purpose. How can we work that out in specific ways as a church? Well, we can work that out by being faithful in fellowship, by faithfully proclaiming the Word of God, by preaching and teaching, by sharing the gospel with the lost, by supporting those who share the gospel. And last week we looked at the church and its role of building up believers so that we can be more like the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we've looked at the purpose of the church. In the past few months, we've looked at the church covenant, those things that we have committed together as a church to do. That is our desire as we strive to fulfill our calling in Jesus Christ. These are things that we have striven or we have desired to do because this is what God wants us to do. We've talked about commitment, about not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. What we believe, what we verbally assent to, should be reflected in what we do in our lives, how we live. And so it is our desire as believers, as members of Nordville Baptist Church, it is our desire to do the good works that God has foreordained that we would walk in them. We want to be men and women who walk by faith and not by sight. We want to be men and women who practice works of faith. Yes, we realize all of these things because faith without works is dead. We realize these things. We want to be holy as God is holy. We want to be loving as He is loving. We want to follow the perfect example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we want to follow His footsteps. That is our desire, to be imitators of God. And so here lately we've been preaching about, yes, setting a high standard for ourselves. But yet it's not some self-imposed standard. It's not some human standard. This is the standard that God has set for us, and we are striving to live in accordance with it. We are striving to meet God's perfect standard. But even as we consider all of these things, we never want to forget that God has not called us to do these good works in our own strength. God has called us to do these good works in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not as if by our own brute might, by our own self-ordained willpower, it's not as if we can serve God acceptably just in our own strength, because that is not the case. God hasn't called us simply to meet an outward code of conduct with no inward heart change. God has not called us to do that. In fact, if that's how we are living, God would really tell us, you need to get your act in order because you're just doing things instead of living out a heartfelt faith. We have been saved by grace. And as we have experienced that salvation by grace through faith, we realize God does not expect us, having been saved by grace, He doesn't expect us to live our life apart from grace. No, God wants us to be living out our Christian life because of that grace and the power of that grace that He has given to us. Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So we know that our salvation is not by works, it is by grace. And so often we pinpoint our salvation at a certain point in time, and that is true, we were saved at a certain point in time, that moment when we trusted in Jesus Christ for our salvation. But yet, it doesn't mean that our salvation is just at that one point in time and no other time. No, the moment that we are saved, we begin an eternal salvation by God's grace. And so as we live our lives as Christians, yes, we realize it's by grace that I have been saved. It is by grace that I am being saved. And so we live our lives all the time by faith, by grace. Our salvation is not by works. It is by God's grace alone through faith. And our Christian lives are by grace alone through faith. The victory that we have, it's always found in the person of Jesus Christ. And so we live by grace through faith. We do those good works that God has called us to perform. That is our desire. But our desire is not to do them by our own piddly human strength, because that is what we are as humans. We are just very weak and lowly. God has not called us to serve us, to serve Him, through our own strength. No, it is by God's strength and His strength alone. That's the only way we can have victory, is by God's all-encompassing, almighty power. And so the moment we're saved, what a blessed day that is, but the moment we're saved, we're baptized into the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. And it is only by His power that we can live a victorious Christian life. It is only by the working of the Spirit that His fruit is produced in us. We go to Galatians chapter 5, and what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's love and joy and hope and all of those things. We read in the Scriptures, don't grieve the Spirit, don't quench the Spirit, but rather walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Living by grace. That's a wonderful truth, isn't it? It can be easy to get discouraged in our Christian life. But yet if we realize it is not my own strength, it is God's strength that works through me, that can be encouraging. That is encouraging. That is inspiring. It is motivating. God has not called us to serve Him by our own laughable resources, because that really is what it is. Our own resources, they're rather laughable. They're rather piddly. Just as I'm up here trying to preach, I realize my flesh is weak. The only good that's going to come by my preaching is as God works through me. It is God's power and His might that is displayed through human vessels such as we.